Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Chris Fetters of Dogman.com, and I'm here with Scott Eklund. It's day after Christmas, and hope everyone had a happy holiday season, happy Christmas, all that good stuff. But back to work, back to the grind, and Jacob Eason has declared his intentions to turn pro. Not something that was completely unexpected, but Scott, did you think it was going to come maybe this soon, or did you think maybe he really was going to wait to see what Jimmy Lake was going to do with the offense first?
Well, you know, a lot of that made sense. The thinking behind it made sense. But all I had been hearing basically since October was that he was planning to leave early. So I guess I didn't really think that it mattered when. But, I mean, from a timing standpoint, I'm just glad he waited one day, you know, because I'm glad that we weren't all scattered at our various Christmas outings and having to scramble for this. So, but yeah, you know, I thought he was going to be leaving early. I made a bet with Softy that he would leave early. So I get to get that little payoff, which should be nice. And, you know, he's a good kid, and I really hope he has some success. I don't think he's ready. I think he probably should have stayed another year, but that isn't his decision.
Well, you mean that is his decision?
Well, his decision was not to return for another year. Sorry.
Right. So let's just go back real quick and review what he did at Washington. So he played in 13 games, started. He had an efficiency rating of just under 145, which I think using the Steve Sarkisian method was considered pretty good. Maybe not elite, but certainly enough for a quarterback at that level to do some damage. He threw the ball at about a 64% completion percentage, threw for 3,132 yards, 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions with a long pass of 57 yards. Over these last 13 games, how would you kind of do a quick capsule analysis of what you saw, Scott?
I would say up and down. There are a couple games where he played really well and seemed to really handle things and manage the offense and distribute the ball well, and there were other games where he looked awful. Now, that wasn't always his fault. Some of it was the play calling. Some of it was the play of the offensive line. Some of it was the wide receivers. Some of it was the defense not putting the Huskies in good positions either because they fell behind. So, you know, whatever it was, he just, you know, I try to look at this. I'm taking it just in itself and encapsulating it just in itself. He really didn't impact this program very much one way or the other. I think that maybe there are a couple wide receivers that might have committed to Washington that maybe wouldn't have. But, you know, those guys aren't really playing that much at this point, so we don't really know the impact yet. And he did lead him to a bowl game. He did lead him to a win in Washington's last – or in Chris Peterson's last game as the head coach of the University of Washington. So you can't really say that wasn't impactful. But I just think that it's really an incomplete when you talk about his impact on the program overall.
Right. So and the thing is, ultimately, we try to break it down. Do we think – he had the kind of impact he should have had this season, or do you feel like there's still a lot left on the table?
I think everybody would agree that there was a lot left on the table. And, you know, like I just kind of went through, I don't think it's all on him completely. I think a lot of it is, though. I don't think he managed things as well as he could have. I don't think he was as accurate as he needed to be. I don't think that he made the right decisions in some cases. There are, you know, the couple pick sixes that he threw, the the interception that he threw to Utah, where he threw it into triple coverage when Washington would have at least gotten a field goal out of something. So you can pick different spots and everything like that. And I've always liked Jacob Eason. I didn't know if he would be a good fit here because of what Chris Peterson likes to do, but I know that everybody was very excited. He's probably the most, other than Jake Locker, would you say Chris Fetters, he was probably the most physically gifted quarterback all around for the University of Washington to ever come through the doors?
Well, I think you could certainly make an argument for Marcus Tuiasosopo. You could make an argument for Isaiah Stanback. In terms of pure athletes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. But
is he in that conversation? For sure. I mean, yeah. The only thing he didn't have that maybe those other guys had was escapability, movement, pure athleticism in terms of, making something happen when the play broke down, being able to scramble. I mean, if you look at the season stats, he ended up with minus 69 yards, if you include the sack stats. So that'll just tell you that he was not able to really do much once maybe there was some pressure in his face, or if he had to maybe make a real quick decision, mostly it was just a ball getting thrown away. But there were times too where he was able to throw the ball, and because he had such unique arm talent, he was able to make some plays where I guarantee you a Jake Browning or someone like that wouldn't even have attempted a particular play. So there are certainly reasons to think that he, did some things that will probably bode well for him in the NFL. But I'm sure there's also the other side too, where people are going to say he's not ready. He still needs less, still needs game time. He has lessons to learn. That's all great and everything, but you're constantly trying to learn. Even when you're in the pros, you're constantly evolving. Your game is constantly in the process of trying to improve every single day. So, I guess my feeling on it is that when you really look at it, and I know that a lot of people felt like once Jimmy Lake made the move to let go of Bush Hamden, let go of Jordan Pau-Pau, and kind of starting fresh, a lot of people were like, oh, okay, this means that maybe Jacob Eason is really taking this seriously. But I kind of looked at it the other way and thinking, well, if he's going to have to learn a brand new offense, why wouldn't he want to get paid learning a brand new offense instead of, kind of flipping a coin and going, well, maybe this will work for me, maybe this won't work for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, Chris, that if he's got to learn a new offense, like you said, why not do it while I'm getting paid rather than playing school, And from everything that I had heard is that, the decision was made quite a while ago that he was probably going to go pro, but he wanted to give it a little bit of time and make sure he was making the right decision. And, do you think he played like a guy who was 1 foot out the door, Chris?
Well, if that is true, obviously, if because you can only go by what he says, in post game, he certainly didn't want to approach it. And this was less than a week ago. I mean, he just didn't want to talk about it. He kind of gave the impression that he was thinking about it seriously. But on the other hand, he kind of was looking at it from a distance, and he was using words like they'll be good next year, and they look, they have all the opportunities to really, push forward and things like that. So he made it almost kind of like he was distancing himself from the program as well. So You could have looked at it either way. I think some of the conspiracy theorists out there are going to say, yeah, he was using those words. You could tell that he already had 1 foot out the door. But then again, if we didn't know then what we know now in terms of the offense, and we didn't know Lake was going to blow out Hamden right after the game, pretty much, and you look at how they played in the Las Vegas Bowl, could you have sensed the idea that, oh, maybe this is a preview of coming attractions, maybe this is what they could look like, or did it just look like more of the same and it was just simply a matter of execution? That, I guess, ultimately, that's the question you have to ask yourself. But again, if you go by the premise and you're operating under the assumption that he already had 1 foot out the door, it does make you wonder and kind of go back to those other games, Colorado, Stanford, Cal. There's certainly those games where how much of his head was really in the game. You just I guess maybe in hindsight, he'll tell us years and years from now. But, I mean, who's ever going to want to cop to something like that?
Yeah, when you're not going to want to do that. For one reason is, you know, you're a local kid. And the University of Washington is the – I mean, they've got Washington State too. But, I mean, most of the people in this area want – are UW fans, and the last thing they want to do is hear a guy getting paid to go to school, basically free education, and he's got one foot out the door already, and then you have a bad season. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, they're going to be great, and I've got one foot out the door, but I just took him to a 13-1 season in the college football playoffs, right?
Yeah.
It's another thing entirely to go 8-5 and not get to the Pac-12 championship game, let several games slip through your fingers because offensively they couldn't get things done against the two top teams in the conference in Utah and Oregon. And, you know, I just it's hard. It's really hard because you don't want to be too hard on the kid because you understand that there's millions of dollars at stake for him. But I've always been a big believer that other than maybe one or two positions out there, and I'm talking running back and possibly defensive end, I don't think anybody should leave early for the NFL. I think it only benefits you to return to play out your senior season and then move on from there. The guys who show up in the NFL more physically ready, more mentally ready for the rigors of what the NFL throws at them, it always benefits them more. And I'd like to see more players make that decision, but that's not the world we live in.
Right. And a couple things on that, I would just say in terms of mentally and all that, well, physically Jacob Easton's ready to go. I mean, no one's going to question that a guy who's 6'6", 230, 235 isn't physically ready to go, especially with his arm talent. I mean, it's uncommon. I mean, it's just, he could probably step in the NFL right now and probably have a top five arm in terms of arm strength, ability to make throws all over the field, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in the offseason when he was at Georgia and what have you, he was working out with guys like Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford and some of these other guys. So he's been around the pro element for years now. So that, I don't know if that necessarily gives him a leg up over some of these other guys, but he's been around it and he's seen it. And I think he already kind of has an idea of what it's going to take. A little bit. Until you actually get there, you'll never know, right? I mean, it's just like anything else in life. Until you experience it, you can try to prepare yourself all you want, but you're never going to be 100% fully ready.
Yeah,
But then again, I think it just really kind of goes back to what I was saying about, I think when Hamden got blown out, that made Eason's decision extremely easy. And maybe some people are going to say, no, that really muddied the waters because that gave him an option where they could kind of maybe create an offense around him and this and that. Hey, the last time the Washington offensive coordinators created an offense around the quarterback was 2008. And how'd that work out? They literally had no plan B when Jake Locker got hurt and they had to rely on a true freshman and Ronnie Fauch, who was, you talk about being unprepared. It was so unfair to stick that kid in that situation, but they had literally no other options. Okay, so I look at it the other way. If you're going to have to learn a new system, do it while you're getting paid. I mean, I'm sorry, but the shelf life of an NFL player, now quarterbacks are going to probably have a lot longer NFL life than maybe other positions out there, for sure. But, you know, still, when you're looking at maybe 4, 5, 6 years tops, you know, you got to make hay. I mean, I'm sorry, you got to make hay. And I wonder, you know, just going real quickly, what do you think his draft prospects are going to be, Scott? If you could maybe handicap them real quickly, do you think he could be a shoe-in first round guy? Because they only took 3 quarterbacks in the NFL draft first round last year. I think they were obviously Kyler Murray in the very first pick, but then I think it was Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins, I think, were the other two. You know, some people are handicapping Eason as a top 3 guy. Some have him maybe as down as far as 5 or 6. What do you think his chances are of being a slam dunk first round guy?
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to go this route. Yeah, and I don't think he's a slam dunk by any stretch. And I think he's more of a slam dunk to drop into the third round than he is to be a first rounder. Just the way I've kind of seen things go and who's entering the draft and all those different things. Has Tua Tagovailoa declared yet?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen anything yet, but
yeah.
I'll tell you what, all the mock drafts are basically kind of assuming him to do it. So.
I know. So, so you've got Justin Herbert, you've got Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's likely the number one overall draft choice. Heisman Trophy winner, just improved leaps and bounds over what he was the year before and everything like that. So you're talking about, and then you've got who's the quarterback at Oklahoma? Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
So he's another possibility as well. It's going to be really, and Jake Fromm is in there too. So, which is kind of ironic that he and Jake Eason might be battling for that.
Well, we haven't talked about Justin Herbert too.
Yeah, and well, I mentioned him, but yeah, so Justin Herbert's in there too. I think Justin Herbert's probably ahead of Jacob Eason just because of his experience level, and he's got the same size as Jacob Eason, maybe not the same arm strength, but he's got much better mobility than Jacob Eason has. So maybe the NFL rates that a little bit higher. I don't know. So I would bet he's a like mid to late second round selection. Yeah. And the good thing about that is that means he's being selected by a team that doesn't need him to play right away. I mean, how beneficial was it for – we keep bringing this up, but how beneficial was it for Aaron Rodgers to come in and sit for – what did he sit for, 3 years behind Brett Favre?
It felt like a while. Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least, it was two full seasons that he sat behind Brett Favre. And that guy is now a Hall of Fame quarterback and leading his team to – titles and has won one Super Bowl and will take his team to I think they just won the NFC North last week, and he's a great example of what you can do if you're just patient with a quarterback. Russell Wilson comes into the Seattle Seahawks. Now granted, he started as a rookie, but they didn't need him to come in and start. They had Matt Flynn, and they felt pretty comfortable with him. They took Russell Wilson as a developmental guy. All he did was come in and prove that, hey, I'm not a developmental guy. I'm the guy who can take you to a Super Bowl title. And so what he did, very early on, he showed why he should be the one starting. But what it does is it really helps Jacob Eason if he gets into that second round, because it's a team that doesn't need him that much. And it'll give him some time to maybe learn behind, an established starter and from a coaching staff that might have a little bit of stability.
The other thing I was going to say, too, is that even if he is asked to play right away, let's say there's a program out there or team out there that really, really falls in love with him and need a guy to come in right away. I mean, if you look at a Nick Foles, you look at a Jared Goff, even going back, maybe like a Joe Flacco or something like that. It feels to me like there are some touchstones, there are some comparisons that can be made with other quarterbacks that are similar set, similar athleticism, similar guy that's going to scan, just sit there and scan and do those kinds of things and just use a rifle arm to pick you apart. And those guys have gone to Super Bowls and have won Super Bowls. So I just feel like, his situation, would it surprise me if he actually ends up being a better pro than a college player? No, not at all at this point, just because of, the injuries really affected it. And then also, there obviously, as you kind of, you broke down so well earlier, there were just a lot of other things going on with the offense this year that maybe didn't allow him to play at his optimum level. And then he probably had something to do with that as well. And if you go by the theory that he had one foot out the door, then you have to wonder how much that affected him as well. So there's so many other things to think about on this, but I really do feel like at this point in time, this was the right move for Jacob Eason to make. I know you disagree, but I just feel like with as much flux as the offense is in right now for Washington, and if he's going to have to learn a new offense anyways, I just get paid. Just get paid, go to do it, and make it work out for you somehow, somewhere. And like you said, if he gets into that unique situation where he can learn at the knee of an established quarterback, maybe Chargers with Rivers or something like, you know, I mean, just there's so many different things that you could, scenarios where you could see him doing well. And I wish Skinny the best of luck. I hope it does work out for him. I'm certainly very curious to see how it's going to work out.
New CBS Monday, NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Let's move on now to how this affects Washington. Obviously, the Washington fans are a lot more interested in that than Skinny Eason's future now that he's gone pro. Tell me a little bit. We're going to have three quarterbacks now for spring. You're going to have, obviously, Jacob Sermon coming back. You're going to have
Dylan Morris,
yeah. And you're going to have Ethan Garbers coming in. Now, Ethan's going to be coming in January or April. I can't remember.
Well, it's late March is when I think spring quarter
right,
begins.
Right, so he's coming in for spring. He's not coming in for winter.
Correct.
Okay, so you've got three guys at least. Would not be surprised if they try to find another walk-on now that Blake Gregory is gone. They definitely need to have another one of those guys. I think that's why they had gotten preferred walk-on offers to, like, the kid from Thompson, the kid from Idaho, and what have you. They need to have one of those guys in there. So it wouldn't surprise me if they start scanning the field for who would be a good preferred walk-on guy. I think you and I are probably on the same page here. They would not go after another scholarship quarterback in this situation, do you think?
I don't believe so, no.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. It's too late for that. And besides, they've got the all-world Sam Heward coming in for 2021.
I hope we're not just putting this curse on Sam Heward.
Well, but no, but I mean, everyone. Well, let's put it this way: everyone else has done it. Then we can all claim a chunk of that, you know, because you know he's a five-star kid.
The collective us, not Dogman, just the collective us. Everybody who does this,
right? So at this point, you've got three guys coming in for spring. It feels like Jacob Sermon has the clear inside edge. Where do you kind of think things are going to feel out, or how much do you think of this spring competition is going to be based on who the coaches are going to be?
Well, you would think that Jacob Sermon has the inside edge. I have heard nothing but good things about what Dylan Morris was able to do in the practices this season, and I wouldn't give anyone an edge in this battle. I think Dylan Morris, if from everything that I've gathered, now nobody told me this, or this is me just surmising from the conversations I've had with different people, that if he had not been a true freshman and them wanting to keep that red shirt on him, he would have been likely the backup, is what I've been told. Now, that doesn't mean much because that wasn't the case. But I think that he and Jacob Sermon are going to be a full-on battle royal between those two and Garbers once he arrives, and may the best man win. You know, it's like Thunderdome: two men enter or three men enter, one man leaves. You know, kind of thing. And I just, you know, it's going to be interesting, especially to see what kind of an offense they're going to run, because if this new offensive coordinator wants a more mobile quarterback, first of all, Sam Heward isn't the most mobile of quarterbacks. He isn't a statue, but he's not a guy that you're going to use like you would Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields or something like that. So, drawing a blank on the guy from Clemson. Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. So that's not going to be Sam Heward's game, and that's not going to be Dylan Morris or Jacob Sermon's game. And Ethan Garbers has a little bit more mobility than those three, but you know, whoever comes in as the OC, it's going to be real interesting. I'm wondering if Jimmy Lake has said to himself, well, I'd like to bring in this offensive coordinator, but he wants to run a system that isn't going to fit with the quarterbacks we currently have on the roster and the one that we're bringing in 2021. So That's going to be really interesting to see how he handles the quarterback situation. My personal opinion is that they're going to go out and find a guy who runs something with kind of the air raid concepts, but likes to run it a little bit more than a typical air raid guy does. And you'll kind of see that hash out here over the next couple weeks.
Do you really think that? That's interesting because my operating assumption is Jimmy Lake is going to go after and look at an offense that was difficult for them to defend. And when it comes to air raid, they've been as good as anybody in the country at defending air raid. I would have thought that they would go away from that. And especially with the ideas we've been told that, you know, they were trying to incorporate some air raid type concepts into what they were doing this year. And it didn't work at all. So,
well, what are the hardest offenses that Washington has had to defend over the last couple of years?
Well, I mean,
it's the one with multiple threat quarterbacks, right?
It is, in terms of if you look at guys like Tyler Huntley and Justin Herbert and those guys, for sure. I mean, you've got to have a guy that has a little bit of escapability. Let's agree that all the quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster in spring are more mobile than Jacob Eason. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
So even Jacob Sermon is more elusive than Eason.
I would say so, yes. I've seen him run around. He's a little bit more athletic. Not much, but he's a little bit more athletic than Jacob Eason.
Okay. So, bottom line is I don't think people should look at this scenario like it was when Jen Cohen had to make the decision of holding on to Lorenzo Romar or blowing it up and bringing in a new coach. Eventually, it would be Mike Hopkins because – you know, in that situation, you had a potential number one recruiting class coming in, but there was still time for it to really change depending on who they brought in. And it did. I mean, they brought in Mike Hopkins and the whole thing basically imploded, except for they were able to hold on to guys like Jalen Noel and some of these other things. And I'm not going to get too far afield on that, but it does kind of have that sense of how much can they reasonably change, especially when they brought in a ton of guys on offense for the 2020 recruiting class, got them all to sign, got them all to believe that everything is going to be good and they're going to be totally fine in figuring out what this offense is going to be going forward. How radical can they really change? I guess is the biggest question.
Yeah, I don't know if you can, because these quarterbacks were recruited to play in Chris Peterson's system and do what Chris Peterson wants. Well, now we're going to go with a different quarterback or a different offensive scheme and a different leader of that offensive scheme. So, you know, it's really, I mean, for us, because of what we do, it's going to offer a lot of scenarios where we're going to have to be kind of on our toes, you know, for what's going to be happening and what's it going to look like in spring ball when we go out and see what the new offense is going to look like. So, I think there's a lot of unknowns at this point, and it's going to make Husky fans a little leery.
Well, it's going to make everyone very – well, I think at least it should make everyone very curious. But I think with the reception that everyone's had for Jimmy Lake and the idea that they know he's the right man at the right time, you know, I think there's a lot of faith in Lake – to find the guys that he wants to find, especially when he talks about being aggressive, going after guys, that kind of thing. So at this point, I think it's really just settling on a concept and an idea and a philosophy that they can really hang their hat on and also fits in large part the personnel that they have. I don't think they necessarily, again, I think it's a fool's errand to literally fit your entire offensive philosophy around a quarterback, because if you lose him, there's not necessarily a guy there with the exact same skill set. And we saw that play out over 10 years ago, when they had Jake Locker go down and then they were really in it. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting for sure. And I think it's going to hopefully it'll keep Husky fans' attention going forward. This is an emergency pod, Scott. So we're going to try to cut it short as much as we can. But one last question, based on kind of how we've laid all this stuff out, who do you think has the inside edge in spring right now?
Well, I kind of laid it out when I said I think it's Dylan Morris. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. I would love to be proved wrong by Jacob Sermon and by Ethan Garbers. But right now I'd say going into spring, my odds on favorite to win the job coming out of spring ball, and I don't think you're going to win the job coming out of spring ball. I think you got to win it in fall camp. But out of spring ball, the quarterback that'll be at least in the lead, in my opinion, will be Dylan Morris.
And obviously, if they keep them all on the line, do you think that will be enough to keep a guy like Sermon out of the transfer portal for the second time?
I think Jacob Sermon's in this thing for the long haul, personally, at least for another year or two. I think he wants to at least give it a go and see what he can do. There are other factors in why he announced for to go into the transfer portal, and you know, stuff that people have kind of talked about and things like that. We're not going to really discuss it at this point, but there were other reasons other than playing time that, and he's got so many family ties. His cousin's on the team with him. His grandpa played for the University of Washington. His family are all huge Husky fans. I would be shocked if he ends up transferring if he doesn't win the job.
I was going to say, I think his sister's in school now too, right? She's
rowing.
She's in crew,
yeah.
Right?
She's on the crew team. The crew team, yeah.
So again, so we'll cut this short now. Really appreciate it.
What about
Scott.
You? Do you feel it's Jacob Sermon?
I don't have a great feel either way, to be honest, because okay. I kind of thought that there was a great opportunity for him to win the job, you know, even before. And then we had, you know, you had Jake Haener involved in the mix last spring, and it certainly felt like it was a lot closer than maybe eventually it was led on. But you could kind of tell what the fallout was. You know, as soon as he was named the starter, I mean, Haener was in the portal within a day. So these guys don't mess around. This stuff, there's no time to waste, because they literally feel like their eligibility is just withering on the vine if they don't get the opportunity to play right away, when the reality is they're one play away from starting the rest of the year if someone goes down. So, and if you look at, for instance, Boise State, they had three quarterbacks that actually played pretty decent amount of time. So it can happen to any program, and that's why you've got to have quality depth. And hopefully they'll be able to hang on to all those guys, because, you know, if a guy goes down in 2020 and you only maybe have one other guy, worst case, it's going to make really, really tough sledding next fall waiting for Sam Heward to sign. That's the real, I guess, glass half empty approach to it. But so instead of dragging on, we're going to cut it short right here. Scott, appreciate your takes on all that. And again, I want to remind people, because of all the breaking stuff that's going on right now, because of all this stuff happening, remember, this is the day after Christmas. We already have a lot of movement going on. We expect more coaches to be hired, maybe even let go. You just never know. Jimmy Lake is moving this thing around pretty quickly. So if you want to know, if you want to be in the loop, get on our email mailing list. Just go ahead and email us at huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line, newsletter. We'll make sure we get all the breaking news out to you as soon as possible, right there in your email, right after it happens. Again, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We'll put you on the mailing list, and we'll take care of you. So right now, for Scott Eklund, this is Chris Fetters of dogman.com. Go Dogs.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.